So what if you can't touch the sky? It doesn't mean you shouldn't try. Do you wanna fly?
That time of the week, yet again, it's the High Times series here on the Jibber Jabber podcast. Myself, Kevin Wells, and J Mac. Today we are joined with Stephanie Robinson, the talented actress that played Tracy in High Times. You guys will have seen her in High Times, both series. Her and Rab had a bit of a thing, and she's not only been in High Times, but she then went off to work in production and is doing really well for herself working in TV.
I don't know. She was lovely. It was a nice chat. We kind of diverge away from High Times every now and again, but it was still a fun conversation. So, it's another wee gem to add to this lovely wee series we've been doing.
Well, might I say, by the way, she has some patter, and she's somebody you could definitely go out for a drink with and just proper feel at ease and have a great time with. She's actually so sound, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's nice. It's good when you can sit, this is going to sound slightly sexist, but when you can just sit down with a woman and have a laugh, like you were sitting with one of the boys. It's nice, it's a rarity. So
she really is super, super cool person. And you know, we should have her back on in the future just to talk about some proper jibber jabber with us, because she definitely would fit that kind of episode. And it's nae wonder why they chose her to play Tracy, right? Because she was bloody class.
It was an attempt.
You'll hear more of that coming up in the show. If you guys could make sure you go ahead and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and maybe give us a wee subscribe on YouTube, and just go everywhere and just smash the subscribe button. That's cool for us, because one day we might get paid for doing this and we can bring you better production value to this show, which means you don't have to hear Jordan farting through the show. We actually talk about farting. We do. Stephanie talk.
No. What? No amount of money will stop me from farting on a podcast.
Good job, because Stephanie, as you'll find out in this episode, is an actual fart enthusiast. She's got a hang for farts. She loves it, just like John Rooney. So we're not going to hold you up much longer. Ladies and gent, we're here today with Stephanie Robinson, who was Tracy on High Times. Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Not anytime. Every time. Every time. So we're just going to chat a bit about your time as Tracy, who was, I mean, we've had like all the females so far on the show. I think you're the final female that we're talking to.
And final female.
None of you seem to have aged, which I mean, you don't look 15 anymore, but you don't look old.
That was a bit sketchy.
I was like, careful with this one, but everybody still looks fairly youthful. It's all the guys that have aged, right?
Fairly youthful. That's the best compliment I've had all week. I'll take it. That is crazy. I don't look anything like I did when I was in that show. Like, that was me just like on the precipice of becoming an adult. Yeah. Like, I was just a wee baby with puppy fat back in the day.
We could kind of see, we did over the, I've said this quite a few times on the show, over the two series, I think Tracy did the most growing up out of all the characters. Would you agree?
No, up the way. Certainly not.
So, in the mind, she kind of, if you look at how she was in the very first couple of episodes, and then the second series, you kind of see her. She's kind of you and Cora's character. You're almost becoming the mum, because she's gone through a lot of crap. You know, even with Rab as well, you're kind of shoulder to lean on, and we'll kind of get into a wee bit about that, kind of. People always look at it like that, but it really wasn't. It was innocent.
Yeah, like I think, like, to be honest, like, see, in terms of that growing up that you see, that's probably like me as a person kind of growing up, because I was so young in it, and even that wee kind of change from being 16 to 17 and having had the experience of filming the first series, like, I did grow up quite a lot, so it's probably a lot of myself growing up as well, you know, like, out with the character. But of course the character had to, like, I guess, deal with more, like, you know, adult themes or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of real to life as well. Like, these things happen. The mum and dad split up and the kid's always caught in the middle, and that kind of, it kind of seemed like she was forced to kind of get older before it was her time.
Yeah, that was quite nice.
I'd say it's quite nice to see, but it was good to see the development in Tracy, because she became, she wasn't unlikable, no character was, but you grew more towards Tracy and she kind of felt someone like you could have her as a sister. Unless you're Rab Campbell.
I was going to say, nah, I don't know if a lot of people looked at me and thought, that's a lovely sister I'd like. But no, I think, yeah, it's funny, like looking back on it, it's a really funny kind of heady mix of pride of like this amazing show that I've done, and then also just sheer embarrassment.
Oh, totally,
because I was 16 and I was just, you know, a wee fucking cocky asshole, you know, like, and now I look back and I'm just like, oh, so not me at all.
Have you revisited it recently since we got in touch at all?
No, like, it's actually, like, it's very difficult for me to watch it, like, just because it's this classic scenario of, like, you know, how we can, like, look at kids now and say how they're so somewhat unlucky that they haven't had that anonymity of growing up, you know, like just growing up and, you know, not everything's on social media, not everything's like out there, and I had that except from this and there's like this documented time in my life between 16 and 17 that I just look at and I'm like, oh god, did I look like that? And also I need to bring these up. Stephen's wife just texted me not very long ago with a picture that he's posted on the judge. Guys!
Sorry, I didn't know what to try and...
That's him.
The thing is...
in charge of all of that.
Let me defend myself. The thing was, right... Okay, so here's the scenario. I thought to myself, right, I need to get a picture of Stephanie so that people are fresh in their minds who that was in the show. So... I'm not going to message you and say, can you send me a picture of yourself, right? And I didn't want to look across social media and try and stalk you to steal one of your pictures for you to then go, wait a minute, he must have been on some sort of my social media. So I thought, Ken, what? I'm going to YouTube and I'm screenshotting. At least that way it seems the most creepy way to do it, right?
Well, to be honest, like, it's just, of all the screenshots you could have chosen, it was potentially like top five worst. Like, it's a classic example of, like, high times when I look back and I'm like, fucking bunchies, makeup to the hilt. Like, it was a real bad choice, guys.
Come on, I put a frame on it.
Oh, the frame makes it worse, if anything.
Sorry.
It's horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
That's the first time I've seen that.
Well, isn't it horrendous? Like, a real bad choice.
No, this is the Tracy that we remember. That's Tracy.
Today, this is why it's so embarrassing.
Well, bunches, we're talking to Stephanie. That's bunches. Tracy, right?
Remember bunches?
Bunches? Upper bunches?
Right blast for the past. You only see it on, like, toddlers now.
True. I mean, I couldn't sport a bunchy now. Like,
I reckon you could pull it off.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe for a really niche audience, Kevin. But, you know.
I know where that's going.
I got that joke far too quickly.
Of course you do.
This guy knows what it's all about.
Oh, god dang.
So let's go with the first wee your first wee journey into high times. How did it happen for you? Were you actively trying to be an actress at the time?
No, I wasn't. It's all very surreal to kind of look back and remember it, but basically I was in secondary school and my drama teacher, or in fact the head of the drama department, had taught Davey Mackay, who was the director in it and also a great actor as well. But he, I think, had basically gone to St Margaret Mary's secondary school, because that's also where Stephen and Paul went well, so like pure Casamook massive. But he basically, I think, got in touch with the drama department at the school and said, is there anybody you would recommend or whatever? And I went to this audition, completely naive to the whole opportunity of it. Like, I was just like, ah, fuck it. I'll just go to the audition. Don't really give a fuck. Like, I was so, like, did not. Like, the only audition in my life that I've ever gone to that I just walked in, like, ah, whatever. And then, like, that seems like the key. Like, I just walked in so chilled, and for some reason, they decided to hire me. So it was all through school, and I was actually considering becoming a fashion designer at that point. Classic 16-year-old, like, oh, that's what I'll do. Like a really, like, you know, steady career path for me. And I had, like, kind of options to go to college to do both. And then I got this part, and I went and did a bit of drama because I got this part. I just thought, oh, kind of works out. So I wasn't, like, actively looking for it, and it was, you know, as I say, I was particularly naive, I think, to the opportunity. I just kind of went for it and got it, and it was amazing when I got it. But
yeah, it's like Kevin said, we've watched this show God knows how many times now. It's not. I think the fact that it is only 12 episodes makes it a lot easier to do that. Mm. Like, I think if it was series upon series, we maybe would have only watched it 3 or 4 times as opposed to 8 or 9.
400. I literally can, like, I know the song that when Tracy first gets introduced in the first episode, like, I was playing in my head.
My God. I was actually thinking about this because I've listened to a few of the podcasts now, and I was thinking how great it is that you're kind of developing this new audience and whatever. And then I thought, at the end of the day, you have also lost us 2 fans, and I think that's your wives.
Sorry.
Like, your wives are not going to be up for watching any of this going forward.
I need to watch it in secret, really, like I'm taking smack.
The thing is about anything that you do, like, your wife's just no one at all. So I should start liking shoes and all the expensive things that she buys. Yeah. She'll be like, I'm done with that, and I'll have a lot more money.
Listen, that's not a stereotype at all.
No, it's true.
I could tell my wife, it's like, Billy, I'm up for a Nobel Peace Prize. She'd be like, ah, what a shite.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, when you got the character, like when you got the audition for it, did you bring elements of? Well, of course you did. I think you said that at the start already, that you were just kind of being yourself, and that kind of resonated with what Tracy's character was. And you think that's why they gave you the part?
Yeah, I think, like, generally speaking, like, I wasn't very sophisticated back in the day, and I think And Stephen's actually taught me this, like, afterwards, you know, mm-hmm. when we did kind of acting workshops and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of need to play a version of yourself, like, to make it as true and believable. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, that's maybe what they kind of seen in me. Like, I was not like Tracy in the slightest. I was a wee goody two shoes. Like, I was not, like, at all like that character, but I was surrounded by characters like that.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of played the version of myself if I was in that scenario. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I would love to say there was so much thought behind it, and, like, I really worked on that, but I just went in, I didn't give a fuck. They just gave me the part. Like, I think I just kind of, like, fitted the mold of the, like, and that's obviously what the whole thing is when you go for these auditions. Like, you can be as brilliant as you want to be, but, like, if you don't fit the look and the mold of, like, what they see the character as, then you're not going to get it. Like, you can be as great as anything, and somebody else will walk in that looks more like the part. So I think I just kind of, like, very luckily just sort of fitted that wee mold, and I just went in playing a heightened version of myself, I suppose, that ended up, you know, as I say, they gave me it, which is, I don't get it. Like, good for them, but, you know, I don't get it.
No, you should rewatch it then. It's all on YouTube or an STV player. Go rewatch it. And maybe, I mean, have you ever thought about going back to kind of rewatch it and just, I mean, for the whole sake that, like, it's 15 years later.
Yeah.
And you might appreciate the show a bit differently to what you did when you first watched it or when you were filming it. Have you ever thought?
Oh, of course. Like, I think it's like a wee hurdle that I need to go over to kind of go, like, all right, like, I'll settle down. Like, most, like, the people that I work with recently and, like, kind of circles that I'm in, we didn't know anything about this, because I don't go, oh, by the way, guys, when I was 16, like, I was in this program, like, I'm not wanting people to go online and look at it, you know, that know me currently. So, like, I'm not like bragging about it. So like, yeah. Like loads of people that know me, if they even heard this, would be like, what? Like, that's what she did. Like, that's crazy. But I'm probably at an age now where I could sit down and watch it. But it's always surprising when I've got like friends that are like, yeah, I've seen it. And I'm like, oh my God.
And do they not know that it was you, or they just never brought it up to you?
Well, I had this hilarious time. I was working in production and a guy was talking about High Times, like a runner. And he was just like talking about High Times. And it was very unlike me, but I like turned around to him and I went, oh, I was in High Times. And he went, no, you weren't me. Who did you play? And I was like, Tracy. Oh, I wish I'd thought of that, because that would make the follow-up comment even better. But no, he said, who'd you play? And I said, Tracy. And he went, no, you didn't. She was fat. Honestly.
She was like, fat?
Oh, like puppy fat. Like, I guess in comparison to myself at the time, but he was looking at me and going, no, don't buy it. Don't buy it. And I was like, I'm not lying to you. But honestly, obviously I've not maintained any sort of friendship with that gentleman.
I wonder why.
What an asshole.
Unbelievable. I mean, do you know what?
See, on the plus side, he's probably still a runner.
Oh, he probably is a senior runner. A senior
runner who runs faster. He walks about with an espresso machine on his back.
Bottles of water on his belt, wee rucksack. Exactly. Oh, he's got it down.
Take that, runner boy.
I'm just imagining Adam Sandler. You know,
he didn't look far off him, actually. Could have been.
Really?
I really did.
God damn, man. How dare he? How dare he?
No, that's a bastard.
Worst. I mean, to even say that about any woman to another woman is scary, but to say it about the woman that you're speaking about.
I know, honestly. It's literally like walking up to somebody who's a bit chubby and saying, are you pregnant? Like, it's the worst thing you could have said.
Or I didn't know you were pregnant. How far along are you?
That one's
brutal. It's so brutal.
Do you know, actually, it's a bit of a sidetrack here, right? But there was actually a time where Jordan and I used to work in the same place, right? And there was this girl at our work that she looked different online than how she looked in real life.
Oh, and
Jordan, right? And Jordan was saying to me, she came up on my friends in common, so I had a wee flick through her Facebook, and she looks nothing like her pictures, because her pictures actually look decent, right? No disrespect to the lassie, right? Right? But here's the thing, here's the best part, right? So I was like, you're sitting creeping on our Facebook. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah,
then came round the corner, right? Said, hey guys, what are you doing? I was like, oh, Jordan was just telling me how you look different on Facebook than you actually do in real life. And her response was, I don't have Jordan on Facebook. I was like, ha ha.
Welcome to my fucking life.
I'm just sitting there like, fucking yes.
Just on another wee side note, see, this is supposed to be talking about you and what you've done, but this is, I'm just going to...
No, tell me.
You're getting a wee insight into what I need to put up with sometimes, right? last year, we went down to Manchester to cover a Comic-Con style event.
Oh, yeah.
And... I always make a point when we're going away to do these kind of things that I always book a really shit hotel. Just basically.
What a guy.
Can make it more interesting. So I was reading the reviews for this place on the way down, and it was saying things like, room was tidy, but there was a dirty nappy outside the window. There's blood stains on the ceiling, stuff like that. And this is genuine. Like, these are genuine reviews. And then we get there, and we're just going to check in. And it's the owner that's behind the desk, and I was like, hi, just checking in, blah blah blah, and Kevin just standing behind me goes, Jordan, this place isn't a shithole. And my face very very quickly changed colour.
I was like, this place actually looks alright, Jordan, you said it was a shithole.
That is hilarious. I mean, it sounds like it was a fucking shithole, so you've probably done them a favour.
I'm pretty sure our door lock was like a segment that had been added to the door, because it's clearly been battered in before. It, it, It was pretty horrific. I mean,
my bed was broken.
Yeah,
broken. And I was like,
you know, whenever a hotel's attached to a kebab shop, you know it's going to be top fucking class.
And that is the biggest red flag you should take note of. Like, that is real bad.
But it was still a great time, and we'll always go cheap just for the banner. Just for the banner.
That's hilarious. Oh God, I hope we never have to go in production together or anything. I won't go for the cheap. No.
That's all right. You're in production. You can deal with that shit. You just do everything.
I book a lot of shitty hotels for other people, but not for myself.
I always demand that we book the shittest hotel wherever we go, just purely for the banner. Oh, God damn.
Hilarious.
So we're going to tell some funny stories here. Do you have any funny stories that you can remember from the set of High Times? I mean, we've heard quite a few from John Morrison running about with his dick out.
What?
Yeah, did you not hear that? You must have missed that episode. It was Alison Peebles that told us. You know that scene where he's in the bath? And he pulls the rail off. I mean, you have seen High Times, right?
Yeah, I have watched it. But honest to God, it's like, God, like when it was out, I watched it. I've not seen it since. But so I roughly remember, so he was in a bath.
Aye,
but he was just jumping about with his willy out.
No, well, what happened was the wee Jemima's Witnesses came through the door.
Jemima's Witnesses?
What'd you call them?
Jehovah's.
Jemima's Witnesses.
What? They seen Jemima.
That's going on a t-shirt.
Oh, that is a t-shirt if ever I've heard one. My God, I'm going to get that t-shirt. If we have the reunion, I'm coming in a t-shirt that says Jemima's Witnesses.
100%, I will actually send you, because we've got a t-shirt guy.
Of course you've got a t-shirt guy.
Now, if we do that reunion, you need to reveal it like Superman.
And then there's a story, which is how we portray it to the audience as to why she's wearing it. And the story basically is those, remember those guys that actually, I think they're in a scene with yourself, and you were like, fuck this, I'm not sitting with these Bible bashers, and then you leave.
Oh yeah, did I not call them plums or something like that?
Something like that, aye.
Plums.
And then, so it was them that was doing all the thieving. So they go up to Eddie and Alice's house. And then he's in the bath, he rips off the rail, and then he goes to batter them with it, and that's how they get caught. But he also has towel drops. He's naked.
Oh, right,
and that's when Alison Peebles and Judith, then he said...
The treat of seeing his penis.
Well, he was waving it a bit, apparently, according to Alison Peebles. He was just like, well, I'm going to be naked anyway. He was just kind of jumping about.
I mean, I was only 16 on set. I must have been protected from that kind of craziness.
Well, I mean, 16 was still all right back then, wasn't it?
Oh, back then, they could have chucked me in the bath with him, but, like, you know.
She's better than John.
So this programme contains outdated opinions that you find offensive these days.
God.
Proper disclaimer, I love it.
I saw that description. I went to watch Don't Mess With The Zohan the other night. You know that Adam Sandler
film? Yeah, it's got the runner. Hairdresser.
Aye, that's the one. Oh. It's a silky smooth. Well, I went to watch that on Sky the other day, and you know how when you go to watch something, you get a wee synopsis telling you what it's about? All this was a warning about the content. It was this program contains outdated opinions that some people may find offensive. Adam Sandler comedy. That's all it said.
I just said Adam Sandler comedy and left it at that.
I mean, but the scary thing was, it's only 12 years ago.
It's crazy.
Changed so dramatically since then to the point it's in my opinion, it's fucking ridiculous the stuff that you can't do and say now.
It's a tough one. That it's like you need to kind of adhere to like where we are right now, and you need to respect the kind of diversity and also just like equality and all that. But yes, I would agree that there are certain limitations that I'm just like, well, like especially things that have happened, like the Fawlty Towers episode. To me, that's happened. And also, like, as far as I remember in the episode, they weren't like promoting it. They weren't saying we are right. It was like, we are wrong, and that's what makes it funny. Like, so that the audience can look at it as an external thing and go, that's wrong, and they're taking the piss out of it, and that's what makes it funny. Yeah. Whereas I think like that should be like you know, that's reflective of society. We're not living in a society now where everybody's just like, yes, and everything's fine, and everything's said perfectly correctly. Like, well, you know, like, my family still live in Castle Milk. I know what's going down.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's just the kind of, one of the, I kind of think that eventually it'll come full circle and people will just be like, okay, what? If I didn't like it, I'll just not watch it. And then if no enough people watch it, it'll stop getting made. It's, do you know what I mean? That's pretty much how you deal with that kind of thing, right?
The way it used to go was if you were offended by something, you'd go like this. Oh, I'm not watching that. Now it's just like, oh my God, I'm going to watch the rest of this and complain.
Complain fully. You want a real well-rounded complaint when you make that complaint. You don't want to stop it halfway through and complain.
Exactly. I don't think there were very many complaints when it came to the whole storyline between Tracy and Rab. Did you know about that thing straight up? And by the way, I've said this in a previous episode. I don't think there was anything wrong with that at all. It's one of those things that is, I don't know, now it would maybe be a wee bit risky, but at the end of the day, right, nothing really happened. And then when you actually kiss at like the very last episode, I mean, you're old enough, right? You're legal.
I mean, I'm legal! Oh my God, guys! Yeah, no, it's funny, like, thinking back on it, because, like, I was 16 and I thought I knew the fucking whole world. So, like, see, to be honest with me, like, that storyline, it never, like, didn't sit comfortably with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I was also, like, you know, working with Stephen a lot. We were rehearsing together. Like, he was, you know, like, a mentor to somebody. Oh, he'll fucking love that. I hope he hears that.
He's listening.
he's like, of course he's listening. But, he's yeah, like, oh, classic, he's in your cupboard. Classic Stephen.
Disclaimer. Classic Stephen. I mentioned that Rab and Tracy story that we didn't know.
If you look carefully at that Schwarzenegger poster, the eyes are moving.
Oh, that's what it was. That was freaking me out. But now that I know it's Stephen, I'm cool. But no, like, I thought, like, to be honest, like, I don't remember any kind of, like, even, like, it was a wee bit embarrassing, I guess, because, like, I was 16 and 17 over, I think 16, 17, maybe 18, leading into the other one, but, like, I had to do a kissing scene with another wee boy.
That's right, yeah.
And it was so funny because I think I was, like, I think maybe I was 17 and he was 15. So it really felt, like, really no right to me. It was like, oh, God, I need to kiss this boy. And for whatever reason, I don't know what it was. Maybe I wasn't kissing him, right? But, like, we had to do, like, 10 takes of that fucking scene.
I bet you the wee boy kept fucking up.
Like, it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever had to do, like, out in the open as well, so there was probably all sorts of, like, locals sitting watching it. But, like, when it came to the Stephen storyline, like, I just don't remember there being anything, like, super uncomfortable about it. And I think, like, that probably ties back to me being 16 and think I knew fucking everything anyway. So I was just like, oh, of course this older dude's going to be into me. Like, yeah, of course. Like, and I just kind of went with it. But, like, it was also, like, I mean, I think it was like a wee peck on the lips. Like, I wasn't getting...
there wasn't anything where you're like, that's uncomfortable. It wasn't uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it was all kind of insinuated, I suppose. But as you say, I was legal. So ultimately, everything's fine. But yeah, no, I don't remember. Like, I just think it was like, it was quite a nice wee relationship that Tracy had with Rab and Jake. And
it was.
I think, you know, like that obviously just kind of fostered itself towards that. And as you say, I was like the shoulder to cry on when he was having that difficult time. And so, like, you know, it's understandable for, like, somebody to kind of, like, bring some sort of romance from that, you know?
Yeah, it almost was like you were, like, one of the guys at one point.
One of the lads.
Aye, it kind of felt like that. You were just there, and it didn't have to be explained why you were there. You were just always there. And some of my favourite parts were when Rab's actually looking at you in a suggestive way, and then he looks down at the Scrabble board, and it's like Kiddie Fiddler, and he's like getting all paranoid.
It's so, like, I mean, that shit wouldn't fly the day, surely.
No, like, probably not.
That is so funny. That's one of the only memories I have of that, is the Kiddie Fiddler on the Scrabble board.
Don't want to offend a Kiddie Fiddler, you know.
That's the worst thing you could do. These Kiddie Fiddlers' lives matter, guys.
Exactly. Did you hear on the news as well? They actually had the newscast when he's looking at the Scrabble board, and it was like, a local paedophile had his brains bashed in. It was something like that. And he's like, right, you're naked.
Do you know the first time I watched it, I remember like there was times where you'd show up at their door because you'd fell out with your mum and dad, whatever. I speak as your character, right? Jake would want to let you in, and Rab was like, no, tell it to fuck off. I always thought it was because he never liked you, but obviously it was because it was the other way. He knew that he liked Tracy just a wee bit more than he should. So he was
Do you want the temptation? Hilarious.
You see that bit where, I don't know if you remember, but there was the scene where you'd slept in the same bed as him. And he kind of got up and he was shitting himself because he was wasted the night before. And then he pulls you out of the bed and you're fully dressed. And it's Stephen's reaction, Jake.
The relief.
Fucking hell.
Jake, Rab's reaction. It was so genuine. Like, he was just like, oh, I still get your clothes on.
It was
brilliant. It was such a good moment. And then I'm pretty sure that's also when Frank came to the door. Stephen opens it and you just subtly hear a wee fart.
That's John Rennie. That's John Rennie, right? He loves his fart gags.
Oh, he certainly does. Like, I can't deal with fart stuff. Like, it really embarrasses me. Oh, and yeah. I had to be part of that scene of the lighting of the fart thing. And God, I just hate it. I hate it.
Oh man, this podcast is full of farts. Jordan here, actually. Get this right. We were actually on an episode the other week.
I'm going to duck out while he tells me a story. I'll be back in a minute.
Last week we had a guy from Arizona, right? You might have seen him. He was on like NBC News and all this, basically saying that aliens come to his house and he's killed them with a samurai sword.
Right.
So we had him on to kind of tell us a bit about that. Right.
And wow.
Now he was telling us about a couple that are friends of his, and this couple was they died. It's a very serious moment, right? And just like we're sitting right now on a Zoom call, right? Just like we're sitting right now, he's telling us this story, and Jordan leans forward like this and goes, like an actual fart. Now I will send you the clip of this. I will send you the clip of this because I had to sit here and Jordan sat there and I'm like, ah, trying not to laugh, right? And Jordan's like, yeah, they're both sitting there. Only we heard it for some reason. The guy just kept talking, right? But he let off a ripper.
He's heard that. He's heard that and he's been too embarrassed. He's been too embarrassed to acknowledge it.
Probably.
That would be me. I'd be like, no, I've heard that, but I'm just going to push past it.
No. You call him out on it. But he literally farted and I'm sitting there like,
Gordon, that is horrendous.
Sorry,
horrendous.
I had to go away and fart. Good Lord.
What have you been eating? What is in your diet, Jordan?
Oh,
steak.
Right, okay. I'll do it.
Unbelievable. So for someone that doesn't like farters, beware of this podcast because we've got a senior one.
Thank God it's remote. I'm so glad. I couldn't cope.
So at the reunion, right, we'll do what's called a special Dutch oven.
I might not be there now.
But you'll miss the Dutch oven.
Well, listen, you can always film it and send it to me, I suppose. You might be weirdos about it.
Yeah, only weirdos would record their farts, right?
Help me.
I promise you, I will send you the clip of that part of the episode where he farts and we're both like trying not to laugh so hard at a very serious moment. It was so hard.
Oh, it's like car crash. Like, I kind of want to see it, but I don't want to see it. Like, you need to send me the clip now because you've promised it.
It's official now, Jordan. She wants to see you.
I need to see it.
It is hilarious, but the thing that makes it funny is the fact that Kevin makes zero effort to hide it at the start. That's what his face just goes like this. This guy's talking about his mate getting killed. Kevin looks exactly like he does right now.
That's so terrible.
I'm kind of sitting like this. It was the most painful thing I think I've ever
guys,
experienced.
This is the joy of being on Zoom. Freeze your frame and say there's a connection issue. Like, let that go by. You don't need to show them the embarrassing face. Like, there will be a point when we do this podcast where I'll just freeze and I'll just be literally frozen because I don't know what to say.
She's a witch like, fart. You've gained the game away now. You've gained the game away.
No, that's disgusting. I don't do any of that. No.
I'm so shocked John Rooney didn't give Tracy a fart.
Thank fuck he didn't, because I would have done it and I would have been even more embarrassed than
if I am. If ever there is a season 3, I swear to God.
Hell no, I'll
go.
Die. No.
You know, John Rooney literally sends me fart clips every day.
Of course he does. That's... Oh my God, John.
The thing is, though, after we've done all these episodes, we're going to get him back on after he's listened to all the episodes to kind of just reflect. And we're going to have such a great time. I think John is such a, you know, it feels like that he's like the third member of the Jibber Jabber podcast. He'd fit in so well with us, man. We absolutely, he's got the exact same kind of humor is what we do, and I think that's probably why we love High Times so much, because it's genius writing, and the way, I wouldn't say it's subtle, but the humor's there in every episode, wherever you find it.
I think it can be subtle. That's like the good kind of balance about it. Like, I think that there is the fart jokes and there's like the like pure in your face hilariousness, but then it's just like real people, like the, like I like to do a wee bit of writing myself now and stuff, and the most like the gold that I get is from having normal conversations with my mum, my dad, my sister, just, and they come out with stuff and it's like, that is so fucking golden, you don't even realize it, and like that's the gold in it. So I'm sure, like, if you were to, you know, rewatch and rewatch High Times, like it really has been, as I say, like a good, I don't know how, 12 whatever years it's been, I've not rewatched it, but I'm sure there's so many subtleties in there that you would pick up when you rewatch it and stuff. And he's just a very, very clever writer. He's witty and you know, but obviously simplifying it to the fart jokes at the moment. But he's obviously like a very, very, very talented writer. And
he really is.
Just gets people like.
That's one thing we said about it when we first watched it. It was like, that's so real. Like, we have these conversations with people. He does have a way of doing that, and that's why, like, we can really easily go back and watch both series really easily. Like, it's not and you do notice things you didn't even notice the first time round. You know what I mean? There's all those small things that he's really thought of that you miss the first, maybe second, even in third time that you watch it. And that's why I think it may be cool for you to go back and watch it again. Just remember, we were all young once, and at least you've got something like High Times. You've done that when you were young. We'd love to do something like that now. Think about it that way.
Oh, I know, it is, right? Like, I'm trying to get over the hurdle of just, like, that wee personal embarrassment, because I'm really, really proud of the show, and, like, I know the show was brilliant, but it's just the fact that I am 16 in that, and it's a wee reflection of me at that point, and I'm just like, oh, God, it just gives me the cringe, but, like, ultimately, I met amazing actors, and, like, luckily went on to work with Stephen doing like improvised stuff and all that, and like then met an amazing group of actors that he was surrounded by. So like, all in all, like it you know, it's probably like the best wee chapter of my life. Like it was the most, I was so young and just like everything was at my feet, and like unfortunately super naive to the opportunity, so just didn't really give a fuck and just like was just enjoying it, you know. I was getting paid, I was spending the money, like it was just like an absolutely joyous time in my life, you know, like that wee section of my life, only good memories, you know. It's like only now looking back as an adult, you're a bit like, oh God, was I really like that? Was I sure that?
It's a very common theme. Everybody says that it was just an absolute blast to work on it. Nobody has had a bad thing to say about it. I suppose if they did have a bad thing to say about it, they wouldn't come on and talk to
it. Yeah, totally. Has anybody refused?
Well, Alan hasn't refused. He's coming round to the idea. We're chatting nearly every day now, so hopefully he'll get on this. He's been enjoying the show, though, and do you know what? He actually said he's went back and listened to even the stuff that we do that's not High Times and stuff, so he's been
brilliant.
Really... So I'm glad he likes that. So even, you know, we'd love to have him on to do High Times, and then we can even chat about other stuff.
Alan truly, like in that programme, Alan and Stephen were the stars.
Yeah.
Like, they were absolutely the stars. Everybody was amazing, but Alan and Stephen were the absolute stars of that. And Alan's character, Jake, was, like, for me, like, the top, like, just the best character. So I hope that he is up for coming on, because, like, he really, like, see that performance that he did for that. Like, absolute comic genius. Mm-hmm. Like, him and Stephen with that dynamic, like, geniuses. Like, yeah. Absolutely perfect. Oh. It couldn't have been any better, and there's no one else that could have played the roles as well as they did. So, like, yeah. I hope he does.
Yeah.
Do you almost believe that the two of them actually did live together? You know what I mean? The way they bounce off each other is just so
totally.
They could have had a spin-off as well if the show had gone on longer, right? They could have taken Rabbit, like Rab and Jay take America. Rab and Jake, you know, they go to America to try and do something and end up just getting high the whole time.
Oh, yeah, many opportunities for that. And I hear there's this Amsterdam script. I've never read it.
Oh, we read it. Have you never read it?
No, I've not read it.
Don't send it to us. Amazing.
I've heard of it, but I've never had the opportunity to read it. I would love to read it.
When we read it, we can already hear and see the characters in our mind. Do you know what I mean? And I love it. And you know what's perfect as well? You actually see it in the show, the continuity. Rab comes back to Amsterdam limping. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, right?
I've heard wee snippets, so I cannot understand that. But like, I've never read it.
I was pissing myself reading that script. And you need to read it. It's bloody brilliant. It's not a long read either.
I was reading it in my bed. I was reading it in my bed. My wife was sleeping and I woke her up laughing. I was doing that silent laugh, but the bed was shaking. I don't know if she knew if I was laughing or...
She just assumed that it was usual Friday night for Jordan.
Either laughing or masturbating. Fingers crossed it's laughing.
That's it.
Well, laughing and masturbating, which is a weird...
Because he was looking, doing it. Just kidding.
This is the end of the jibber jar.
And as he's laughing, he's also crying.
Oh, what a lovely addition. Lovely addition, Kevin. I love it.
Yeah, this is why me and him are friends.
Oh, God dang. Hi, the script is brilliant. I've actually got it sitting right there. Because I actually printed it. I like to kind of read it rather than my phone.
Yeah, fuck the environment, right?
Jordan bought the paper. He bought the paper.
It's Jordan's fault. I see. I understand.
You bought the paper and Seb's printer.
Yeah, that's right.
So hi, Jordan. Fuck the environment, right?
Just my fault. No, there's something about reading something off paper that's actually so much easier than reading it off a screen.
Oh, I'm totally joking. Like, I am absolutely the same. Like, I would do the same. Especially a script. Like, you need to turn the page. It's like a book and a story. You know, you kind of need to turn the page. No, just scroll down endlessly. It's I'm having just a wee giraffe with you. I do like a printed script.
Camden, Jordan.
That's what I say. There's just something about being able to flick back a couple of pages rather than, you know, just
do that again. Do that again. There's that thing again.
I mean, is this audio only, or are we going to be able to see the beautiful vision of Jordan?
We only do the audio, but if you like, I can put this clip out for you.
Oh, put the clip out. Oh,
well.
Yeah,
let me just do it again.
It's just him on a loop. It's just him on a loop.
But see, you can put music to that.
There's Benny so much Hill. Opportunity for that.
Absolutely. God damn, my face hurts. It hurts when I laugh a lot.
So, did you go? I know you were probably too young to go, but did you go to the BAFTA night?
Oh, I did indeed.
Excellent. Did you get
first? It was amazing. The whole hilarious thing is, like, I guess at my oldest, within High Times, maybe the time that BAFTA came around, I was 18, but like, I think basically bridging 17, 18. And then I've been very drunk around the High Times cast at several points throughout that, just of my own volition. You know, like, you're there in STV doing a news conference and there's all this wine set out. I'm like, well, why not? In fact, there was like a news thing, like, that. Oh my God, all these reporters were there taking our interviews. I was absolutely pissed, giving them my whole life story. And then poor Jude had to put me in a taxi up the road. I was absolutely an absolute mess. But yeah, the BAFTAs, I did go to that. I remember so fuzzy. I can't really remember much. But I remember Charlene Spiteri was like kind of hanging about our table, and like, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this. Like, I was like totally starstruck by the whole situation. And I also, like, I would love to see if there's pictures of this, but I also opted to wear like a really tight corset, like. Again, 18-year-old, my mother should have been stopping me going out the house. But no. Then I am in my corset wet. Listen, my mother
Frank,
was like,
tell her?
If only I had a Frank like that. But no. They were just like, you have a great time. I'm sure that I remember meeting Alan at the train station. I'm sure he didn't know where to look because it was just up there, just like, you know, presented to the world. And, you know, that was me just, you know, at my 18 years old, no considering the fact that people take photographs and they'll be there forever.
For research, we should probably look for those photographs. Just so we can get a picture of this.
Oh, Lord, I'd be so embarrassed. Oh, my God. I can't even remember specifically what it looked like, but just the thought of it looking back, I'm like, oh, I must have looked like an absolute riot. But, yeah, like, I it was a great night. Like, I remember it being announced, and I didn't really feel like I should go up, you know. Like, it was that kind of, like, you know.
Imposter syndrome, they call that, right?
I was a wee bit like, oh, I don't really think, like, you know, it's like very much a John thing. John was, I don't know who went up, actually, I can't remember that, but like, I remember specifically, I was like, oh, no, like, no, that's a bit too much.
Well, like, come on, okay,
especially in this corset, I'm not gonna up there. But no, it was an amazing night, and like, it is amazing, like, what accolade for High Times to have, that it's got that BAFTA, like, it's incredible, and it was.
How do you feel about how the show was dealt with, you know, between the two series? Like, series one went out, won a BAFTA, season two just seemed to wait in the wings for far too long to actually keep the momentum going.
Yeah. So was it series one that won the BAFTA? I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Because that was, aye.
Aye. It's a bit mental. Like, it's funny, I've worked for STV in production since then. Mm-hmm. And then, the mailroom guy, for some reason, knew that I'd been in High Times and came up to me and said, listen, we're just about to chuck out all these DVDs. There's a couple of High Times ones there. Do you want them? And I was like, how offensive. Like, you're about to chuck out the High Times DVDs. And you've came to me and asked if I want some. I said, aye, I'll take two.
Is it you that's trying to sell it on Amazon for 80?
I know, what the?
Oh, so you found my link. Great. Are you going to be buying that?
So I've got it on my watch list.
Excellent. Oh, you're the watcher, right? No, but like, you know, I was just like, I can't believe that they'll do it. Like, just when you think of, like, the accolade that STV got from making that show, like, in a super low budget and all that. They got a BAFTA, and now there's just like a pure bargain bin of the DVDs. They're just chucking to whoever's interested, and they never, they didn't pick up on it. And I guess, like, you know, I work a bit more in production now, so I kind of understand, like, you know, the whole finance thing behind it. But, like, generally speaking, I don't really understand why something as successful as that was nipped in the bud so quickly, and also that big stupid delay. In the middle of it. I don't understand that. I'm sure if they explained it, there would be hopefully a legitimate reason for it. But generally speaking, like, it seemed like it was mismanaged to some degree.
It's a real a real sin. Do you know, think it would be amazing if even somewhere like Netflix or something picked that up now, or even if they reran it? Because look at where we're at in 2020. Nobody's happy because, I mean, need I say more, right? We don't have any really good, funny Scottish TV series. I mean, this just to get the the defibrillators and kind of put it back onto the High Times.
Shock.
Yeah, that would be quite cool.
This would be. I think we spoke about with John Comerford. It was either John or Caroline. We spoke about the fact that obviously they're not making a lot of TV just now. So this would be the ideal opportunity to try and breathe new life into programs that are already there.
Do you mean STV specifically?
No.
Just in general.
For example, my wife watches EastEnders, right? And I watched it last night with her, and it was the most disgraceful nonsense I've ever seen. This socially distanced soap opera thing is fucking hilarious. And it's sad. I was like, instead of showing that, show something that was good, that's been, if not forgotten, maybe kind of left back a wee bit, you know, just
Aye.
Stop. Don't make new shows just for the sake of making new shows, because the quality is awful, you know. Certainly when it comes to soaps.
No, oh God! Not. Like, I mean, that's no. You can't blame 2020 for that. Like, that has just always been the case. Like, soaps are shite. They always have been, and it's a terrible. Like, especially just generally speaking, in terms of soaps, when you think River City, you think these wee snapshots of living in Scotland and Glasgow and whatever, and you've got Still Game and Chewing the Fat and all these amazing shows. Like, Still Game and Chewing the Fat, like, I remember barely laughing at that when I was younger. Like, it was, like, the best. Like, yeah. It was a whole different type of thing to High Times. Like, High Times, like, I guess it was a wee bit more like Shameless, that kind of vibe. Like,
it wasn't as trashy, though.
Maybe not as trashy, but like, I don't know, maybe you've got a biased like love of the show and you don't see it as that. But like, I guess like maybe, but like generally speaking, the comedy and all that was there, but there was like depth to these people and characters, absolutely. You know. And so like, I think it was like a great like rendition of life in Scotland and I guess specifically Glasgow.
Yeah.
That soaps have always been shite.
Like, I thought they could have got worse.
I did see a really funny like wee video of the EastEnders cast trying to do a scene where two people were holding hands, but it was socially distanced. It was like camera trickery. It was like they were really far apart, but they were holding their hands down, It just looked terrible. It looked terrible. It's just like, embrace the situation. Don't try and cover it up. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's already basically pretty crap anyway, so don't make it crapper.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
Well, that's me fucked with any jobs in EastEnders.
It's all right, no one listens to our podcast. I'm only kidding.
But, it would be just my luck that the casting agent for EastEnders is like, right, she's blacklisted.
No, I mean, no pressure. There are quite a few people listening to our podcast.
Excellent. Perfect.
So, if there is anyone out there that was thinking about hiring Tracy, that was definitely Tracy and not Stephanie. Got you covered.
Nice. Yeah, that was in character, guys. It was in character.
See? All viewpoints are of the character, not of the actress herself.
Absolutely. I like that, yes.
There's always a way around it.
Oh, I've got so much freedom now. I'm going to say all sorts of shite.
Yes. So you kind of... So you went from High Times to then working in production at STV, yeah?
Well, it kind of, like, there was a few years that, like, the odd audition and stuff and bits and bobs, but, like, generally, I think I was just, like, it was just maybe too young to fully appreciate, like, the experience and the opportunity and to be able to springboard from that. Like, I didn't really take that as, like, you know, just fucking, like, young and dumb. Young, dumb, and full of potential. and just didn't really, like, take that, like, momentum, which would have been, like, if I was smart enough and I'd maybe had, like, other guidance and stuff, maybe I could have, like, been smarter with that. But there's, like, a few auditions, bits and bobs, and I kind of went to college, and then it was actually Stephen that said to me, he was like, I think you would be quite good in the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, like the I should take that as an insult, shouldn't I?
You're very good off camera.
You'd be so good behind the camera, Stephanie. And I was like, and you know, like, I guess I like, because we'd work together on wee small projects and I'd have a kind of idea for producing and all that kind of stuff. And so I went and studied that, and then I've just kind of fallen into production. You know, it's not like the pure be-all and end-all of my life. Like, I'm not as passionate maybe as other people that I work with that's a life. Mm-hmm. Like, I would still love to do acting. I would still love to do all that stuff. But it's just, like, it's the opportunities and it's the age you're at and it's also where you live. Like,
the age. Did
Scotland.
You just say it's the age?
Yeah, I'm 33 now.
Come on. That's
listen,
nothing.
My biological clock is ticking so loudly. I can't need to say, imagine I say to my husband, listen, I'm just going to try and be an actor for a few years. He'd be like, oh, what the fuck? please don't.
I've always wanted to be an actor. My biological clock has fell off the fucking wall.
Hey, no, age is just a number, man. If Bryan Cranston didn't really get to his peak until he was well into his 50s.
You love about Bryan Cranston, don't you?
Well, I read his books. So I like to quote. I like to quote him.
I love Bryan Cranston.
He's amazing. He was all about the art.
Oh my God, he is an amazing actor.
Malcolm in the Middle, mate.
Why do I actually remember having a conversation with Stephen when I was talking up Breaking Bad, and I was like, Breaking Bad is amazing, this guy's in it, he's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And he went, oh, that's a guy from Malcolm in the Middle. And I was adamant. I was like, no, definitely not. That's not the same guy. I've not watched it, but I'm pretty sure that's not the same guy.
Man.
And then in the classic situation of the time where I knew, it was a quick Google, and obviously I was proven wrong. It was very embarrassing.
A woman that just said she was wrong.
Yeah, get that.
We should have like a fucking one of them wee threads you pull on the like confetti just to explode.
Oh, listen, I'm wrong loads. You should just record me all the time.
Well, for sure. God, so you reckon like your passion really to really get back into acting then?
I would love that. Like, I think it's a. You know, it's fairly obvious that, like, to be an actor, you can't just dot in and out of it. You need to really, really, like, hone in your craft. And I think, like, I would, you know, to do that again, I'd really need to work on it, and I'd need to build up to that again, because it's been quite a gap of not doing it. But, like, that is my passion. Like, my niece said to me the other day, like, what would you like to be when you grow up? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm 33. And I was like, an actor? And she was like, oh, yeah, me too. And I thought, like, she's like, 9, and that's a legitimate dream for her. But for me, I'm like, oh, fuck, like, is that really what I want to do? Like,
yeah, I am up.
This is as tall as I'm going to get.
No. I mean, I'm always a believer in, like, even if I'm 90, if I want to go and learn to snowboard and be a champion snowboarder, I'm just going to just go for it, man.
And you will die, but it'll be a great dream that you'll have tried to live.
I'll never go. I wonder what that would have been like. Do you know?
It'll be a warrior's death.
Wonderful. Get it all on camera.
What kind of roles would you look at kind of pursuing? What do you think is right for you?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Superhero? Oh, I would love that. Like, see, like, because I'm such a wee teeny person. I don't know if you, like, I don't know if that was obvious in High Times or not. I can't remember, but, like, I'm, this is hilarious. I'm basically the same height as Danny DeVito. I'm the same. Right. I am the same height as Danny DeVito.
You didn't even look the same height as Danny DeVito in High Times.
Well, that's because the cast were very short.
Very short.
I'm 4'10.5".
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm, like, really, really short. So, like, to put me as a superhero or, like, some wee crazy badass or something, like, that would be sweet.
Do you know what I would cast you as?
Ouija women. It's like Ouija boards, Ouija bombs.
She just flies into situations where folk are causing grief and bottles them.
Nice, I love it.
No, you would be the wee quiet librarian that the whole way through the movie folk think are just a wee quiet librarian, and then comes showtime. She comes out in some suit and kicks ass.
Fireballs, yes.
Oh, aye.
Oh, why not?
Excellent. Well, I mean, I'm on board. Is that, are you guys going to write that and get it commissioned?
Well, I had a better idea, actually. We should get John Rooney in, right? And what we'll do is have you be a superhero, right? That has, you know, two guys are in a bit of a spat. Ah, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. And then you come up and you're just like, guys. And then you go. Things are just better. They're like, do you know what? What was our problem? Let's just shake when it goes to a pint.
Guys, that is literally the only role I would turn fucking down. No fucking chance. Well, like the fat superhero. No. It's a hard, hard no.
You get a cape and it literally blows anything you fart.
Guys, no. We're really getting into the gutter here.
Sorry.
No, not at all.
I think you'd be a cool superhero. Do you want to get back into the kind of High Times, kind of, you know, those kind of TV series, or would you like to do movies? What you mean? You've obviously thought about it.
I'd love to do all of those things. Like, that sounds amazing. Apart from the fart superhero, like, don't know, like, all of that sounds amazing.
You said if we get it commissioned,
listen, I mean,
we literally have a production team.
The most embarrassing thing about this is that here's me going, no, that's the only role I've turned down. See if that could commissioned, and they asked me, and fuck it, there.
I like to picture you like 10 years from now sitting watching Angelina Jolie playing that role, going, fuck, that could be me.
Why? No, I would love to do all that. That would be amazing. Yeah. Like, I do need to, like, I can't just expect to walk into this sort of thing again with such a gap. But, like, if High Times came back or there was any sort of version, like, oh my God, I would absolutely love it. Like, just because, like, the team and actors, like, they're absolutely the most on point. Like, there is no bad actor in that show. Like, everybody is so on point and so good. And I remember, like, I felt that even though I was quite naive and stuff at the time, I remember feeling very intimidated by the talent, you know, like, I was like, whoa, this is, like, you know, surrounded by a lot of talented people here. And I probably just kind of, I was just like, oh, God, how's this happened? And I just kind of put a face on it. But I think, like, I'm sure that I listened to John's podcast, and I know that he is most certainly good. More in him, and it would be fascinating to find out how he would, like, progress those characters now. Like, it would be fascinating.
Where do you see Steph?
Tracy went to the army.
It's on Steph.
Oh, hi, Tracy went to the army.
Which means in season 3 she'll have a skinhead.
Honours of tattoos. Maybe a lesbian. There's some medical thing and she doesn't fart at all.
Something's
happened, like she's been caught with some shrapnel and she doesn't fart at all.
She's got 5 arseholes now and it just breathes every day.
Yeah. That sounds legit. Make sure you pass that on to John, okay?
I think you should whistle.
This is what's so annoying about these sort of gags. Like, I can't help but laugh, but I fucking hate it. Tracy went into the army. Was that the second series?
I think she planned to go. We never actually seen if she went.
Oh, well, she said she wanted to. And her mum was like, what the fuck?
And Frank's like, let her go.
Just let her go. Like Mel Gibson.
Good new day, Frank. Good new day, Frank. He does it better.
Do it.
Give me a line.
Oh, no. Say, you explain to me. I'll be Cora. You explain to me that Tracy should be able to go to the army if she wants to. She can't go, Frank. She can't go. Stop her.
Aye, well, it's her choice. Can't stop her doing what she wants to do. Give me a beer in, will you, hen?
She just hits him with a pillow and runs off.
You want an orgasm? I didn't again. You want one?
That's one of the best lines.
It really is. Like, that is one that, like, I don't remember lines from it, but that specific line I remember vividly clear. Like, the best line in it, I didn't again. You wanted one.
I didn't again. You wanted one.
Oh, it's absolute gold. Absolute gold.
That's Cora was on as well, and she loves that. She, you know, everybody that we've spoken to so far as well, everybody just has so much love for the show and for the project you guys done, and they're up forever telling us to pass the love around to all the other guys. So everyone sends their love to you.
Oh, and I send it back. Like, everybody was so kind to me as well. Like, I can almost guarantee you I was that annoying wee asshole of a 16-year-old, and everybody was so nice to me. Yeah. Like, everybody was like an absolute dream to work with, and like a great, like, that was like my first experience of, like, you know, having, like, filming and acting in that sense, and everybody was amazing. So it was really like a really highlight of my life, and I'm sure it is for everybody, as you've said.
Absolutely, every single one of them says, like, it's at least in their top 3 projects that they've done, and you know, Stephen's done a lot of projects since High Times. What did you think of that really powerful scene between him and Chloe, who, by the way, Chloe is a grown-ass teen now, and she's really talented. She contacted us. Her name is...
Robin
Ashcroft. She contacted us and just to let us know that she listened to the show, and I kind of checked out her music page. She's one hell of a singer.
I've actually seen a video of her because, like, she's from Castlemilk as well.
That's right, she was telling me,
Castlemilk.
I know. It's a Castlemilk masses. We're coming for you.
I spent a lot of time in Castlemilk when I was a wee boy, and I don't remember seeing a lot of talent there.
Well, you weren't looking hard enough. You seem the type that would duck in and duck out.
I've seen a lot of people that hit people with planks of wood.
Oh, yes, but that is talent in itself. You just need to look beyond the plank of wood that you're being hit with.
Art is art, Jordan.
And see the talent.
I do remember one time my wee cousin hit somebody with a plank of wood, and after being questioned as to why he did it, he said, "He was punching me, and me's punches wasn't hurting him, so I smacked him with wood."
Sounds legit to me.
Me's punches wasn't hurting him. That's the best line I've ever heard.
That's going in a script somewhere, but he's keeping note of that. Punches wasn't hurting him.
He was about 15 at the time.
Castlemouth, oh, massive.
I totally assumed it was like a wee toddler or something. It was quite cute. Like a wee cute violent thing.
I think he was about 5 or something.
Oh, bless him. Oh, that's cute then. A wee cute violent story. Lovely.
He's actually his age is with you.
Oh, really? From Castlemilk?
From Castlemilk.
Oh, the hilarious thing. Any taxi driver I went, oh, where did you grow up? They always ask me somebody that I might know, and I don't remember anybody.
Oh, it's that thing. It's like if you speak to an American, it's like, oh my God, you know Billy Carly?
Yeah. I actually said to somebody in work one time, they were speaking quite, what's the word? Quite derogatorily? Derogatory about Frankie Boyle. And I turned and I said, "That's my uncle." And their face went white because they could totally believe it. Like, legitimately, like, that could be my uncle. And she was from England, so I was like, "That's my uncle." And she was very, like, I let it sit for a good 10, 20 seconds. And I was like, jokes.
I like that. Kevin does that sort of thing.
Ooh. All the time. I'm really good at, like, planting something and then just sitting back and going,
a wee deadpan.
And then enjoying that atmosphere that I just soak it in and I'm like,
all that's missing is this.
The evil laugh and the evil fingers.
Hell yeah. End it for
Mr.
a laugh.
Burns. Exit,
you know? So the scene with Rab and Chloe, that for me was the standout scene, the deepest scene in that whole show. How did you, I mean, were you on set that day? Were you around?
You know, it's funny, like, I feel like I kind of remember that I might have been on set that day, and it did feel, I mean, I've seen it, and I remember it vividly, because I also think the same as you guys, like, it was a beautiful scene, so I don't know if I'm mixing up my memories, maybe I wasn't there, but, like, it's a beautiful wee scene, like, and this is just, like, it's just, like, an extra wee layer of what Stephen can do, like, mm-hmm. Stephen is, like, honest to God, one of the best actors I've ever seen, like, because we've done all this improvisation together, and, like, he's just, everything, it's just all works, like, he's just absolutely got it, and so, like, to see, like, it's nice to, you know, because High Times, him playing Rab, it's this kind of, like, funny character, obviously there's loads of depth to it, but then you see that scene, and it was just, it was so nice, it was so selfless to kind of go, like, oh, like, I'm a fuck up, so I'm not gonna, like, you know, like, kind of, like, burden you and my fuckery. I'm just going to let you go and be. And it was a beautiful wee scene. I'm sure he's very proud of that scene as well.
Yeah. I think he really, as he said, he was going to act the balls off it. So,
I mean, well, he certainly did.
He did, absolutely.
That was, again, one of my favourite lines. It's like, you'll be better off with Jimmy. He says, if you stick with me, you'll probably end up a stripper or a traffic warden or something.
That's right, and it was a classic, like, oh, it's in a really deep scene that just, like, grabbed you with a wee funny line at the end.
It was brilliant. I mean, until we had Stephen on the podcast for the first time, we'd never heard of High Times. Well, Kevin had. He remembers an ad for it at the time when it was actually on. But Stephen mentioned it kind of briefly, and we just skipped right past it because we'd never heard of it. And then after it, we both watched it and we're like, we need to get him back on. And then this whole thing's kind of blossomed for you. Mm-hmm.
He really loves it. This is one of those shows and one of those projects for him. You could tell his heart was really set on that. Like, back then when it was a thing, you can tell it was something he really, I think he gave it his all because he wanted it to kind of elevate everyone.
Well, what a character he had to play, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Like, that's, like, that in itself, like, we all had great characters, but generally, Rab and Jake, like, the most solid, amazing characters, like, a pure gift to an actor to be able to play, And so of course Stephen has like, and it was such an amazing team and all that, so he'll have like all fond memories of that, you know.
Do you think being around, like, because obviously this was like your first acting job, being around two actors that just really are that they're really, really talented actors, do you feel that most of what you were doing was just reaction to their acting and that they helped elevate you as an actress as well, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Like, it was, like, we had, like, loads of rehearsal time, and also, like, in the audition, I had to do improvised scenes with them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, as I say, I went in so, like, bullshit. I was just like, I wasn't, like, I'm sure if you were a 25-year-old, working actor, really wanting this role, you're really, like, so much pressure on it and all that, and you go into an audition and there's all that sitting on you, and it's really hard to give your best, you know. But, like, when I was so young, I just went in and they were like, oh, we're going to improvise some scenes with Rab and Jake, like, Stephen and Alan. I was like, aye, whatever. Like, I was like, now it's so fucking hilarious. Like, I'm so not that person now. But, like, at the time, I was just like, aye, okay, go for it. And, like, improvised. And so, like, between that and the rehearsals, you just kind of get to know the kind of vibe of everybody, and like, we all got on really, really well. And so when it came to shooting the scenes, absolutely, they, like, their reactions elevated my reactions, and like, it just all, like, seemed to work really well, all fed in. And because, as you say, like, Alan and Stephen were like exceptional actors, like, they just, it just all fed in perfectly. And I learned so much from them, you know.
And you felt, did it feel natural? It certainly looked natural. Did it feel natural for you being on set, like, almost like you weren't acting?
Yeah, it's funny, like, you know, like, you think sort of being on the set and the cameras there and the lighting and everybody, like, all surrounding the scene, you would think that that would just make you go, oh God, and it doesn't feel natural. But it was just, I was just very, like, I don't know, I just, like, specifically remember just feeling very kind of locked in to the scenes that were made. And I guess ultimately, and kind of, in terms of relativity, it was quite a small crew and stuff, and it was obviously in an actual location of high-rise flats, so it was this big open set of loads of people, like, rows and rows behind you. So it was, I guess, like, quite a small team, but it still felt like, you know, there's lights shining on you, the camera looking at you, there's two great actors surrounding you, you're just having to get along with the fart jokes and just go with it, you know.
Get along with the fart jokes. When we spoke to Cora, she said that you, herself, and Tony felt like a real wee family. Did you get a chance to listen to Cora's episode? She talks very highly of you.
I haven't actually listened to Cora's. I'm gonna listen to them all. Like, I've listened to a few, but yeah. Cora was just an absolute, like, I remember specifically going to the read-through and, like, somebody telling me that she was my mother, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? She looks about 5 years older than me.
She looks younger now. Her, all the females look younger now than they did in the show. I'm not even kidding you.
Apart from me, surely, I am the only female that doesn't look younger. There's no chance.
But how do I say you look how you should without that even sounding like a negative, classic, right? I don't want to be the runner here. Come on.
It's classic. Like, many people have said to me, like, oh, you're really, like, small, but you've got a really old face. And I'm like, oh, how do I take that? Like, and they're like, no, I just mean, like, you look your age. And I'm like, I fucking brilliant. Like, I don't want to look my age. Anyway.
No, you look like, you look like a youthful woman.
I'm just, like, fishing as much as I can here. Yeah. Like, fish.
Let's even it up here a bit, right? I went into a shop, like, the other week, right? And I walked in, and I was buying alcohol with my wife. And I'm looking down, and I got a hat on. And I look down, and the woman comes towards me. You know, one of the wee women that are kind of scouring the self-scan. She comes up to hand you a bag. She comes up, and she's like, you got ID? And I looked up, and she goes, oh,
oh no!
Sorry, I was like, I've got ID. She's gone, man.
That is such a bum.
It's like,
sad.
I've not been ID'd since I was 17.
You're lucky. I remember getting ID'd, and they said to me, I was using a fake ID, and they said, "What's your star sign?" Absolutely caught me for a loop. I was like, Sagittarius. They went, no, sorry. And sent me off on my way.
I remember it was actually my 18th birthday. I was out in Edinburgh, and it was on my birthday, right? It happened to be on a Saturday or whatever. And I went to go into this place in Edinburgh, on Lothian Road, and there was a bouncer, and he takes my driving license off me, and he's like that, 1984, and then he literally counted back on his fingers to make sure I was 18. He literally counted to 18 on his fingers.
Oh my God.
I think he was for Dundee or something.
Did they not learn maths in Dundee? No.
No, they've just counted their fingers.
This has lost all the Dundee fans. By that.
Mate, to be honest, a lot of our fans and stuff come from America and like South
really?
Africa.
Really?
Aye. And I'm like, why? Why? Why are you listening? And then I'm on the show and I'm like, guys, send us an email, right? I give them the email address and they're like, go to our website, communicate with us. Why are you listening? And they just continue to listen without ever responding. So I'm like,
that sounds like made up accounts, guys. You've got some made up accounts in South America listening to you.
See if you could make up some more accounts and just.
All right, I'll hook you up with some in Ecuador.
Ecuador.
I think you're here with some Ecuadorian prince that needs to get rid of some money.
Listen, I'll be using that email address for my own benefit. I won't be putting them onto the Jibber Jabber podcast.
Story of our lives.
Classic. Classic scenario.
God. So, Tony and Cora were your on-screen parents.
Mm.
Did they feel at that time like you guys had the whole dynamic of a wee family on set?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think they were just, like, obviously wonderful. But, like, again, like, I remember meeting Tony and Cora and thinking, these guys are not old enough to be my parents. Like, so it wasn't that kind of, like, oh, I feel like Cora's, like, a real mum to me, or, like, you know, Tony's a dad. Like, it was just a nice wee team, and we kind of fostered that wee relationship, you know, within those scenes, and they were really helpful. You know, they helped me with bits and bobs, like a wee bit of advice here and there, and they were really, like, lovely, lovely about it. But I didn't feel that family thing of, like, it's like a mum figure or a dad figure, because, as I say, I just, like, again, I was 16 and also felt like I was, like, 30. So I was just like, I'm just hanging about with all my pals. Like, so, like, it didn't feel like that kind of mum-dad thing at the time, which was probably just down to me being 16 and feeling like I knew everything. And the fact that Cora and Tony were, like, seemed really young. Like, just when you met them in person, like, of course, they, like, you know, they really act up as the mum and dad, and they dress them up as the mum and dad. But when you meet them as normal people, it's not like, oh, you could be my dad. Like, didn't it make sense to me? But
absolutely.
But all on the show, it was all kind of obviously built up with that. But no, they were lovely. And it was, you know, again, just a big, huge learning experience for me to be surrounded with so many top-notch actors, you know.
With Tony, it was... I think I was watching, I must have been on my second or third time watching through it, and I was like, I really recognise him for somewhere, and it just clicked, and I was like, that's Sheffy for Gary Tank Commander.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that. I know Gary Tank Commander, and I've seen bits and bobs, but I don't think I've not watched it properly.
He plays the chef in the barracks, and he's always he's the butt of a lot of Gary's jokes.
I'll need to watch that now.
I love Frank. He's like a wee lovable.
Oh, he's got such a wee cute face. You just want to squish it. And what I've heard is he's not got very much of a squishable face these days.
Yes, we have heard. I mean, we plan to have Tony on at some point. He's someone that we've not actually spoke to at all yet, have we? But
I've sent him the initial message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's dingied you.
So,
well, he's probably too busy in the gym flexing, from what I hear. All right, everybody says how good he looks, and I kind of I've said that in a few episodes previously, that how cool would it be eventually if there was a season 3 High Times, and for whatever reason Tracy's getting married to someone or whatever, and the two of them have to meet for the first time,
the mum and dad.
Yeah, so Frank and Janet. Aye. So Frank and Janet are meeting together for the first time in how many years, because they fell out, and then she sees this strapping Frank that she wanted back when High Times was on.
Oh. And do you know what? Like, seeing classic scenario, if you watch Bullseye and all that, mm-hmm. back in the day, and there's like a guy that stands there and looks about 60 and he's like, I'm 18. And he's got a moustache and like a receding hairline. Like, I would love if like Janet was like an absolute babe, like total glamour puss, like came into her own when she's older and then meets...
Frank.
Meets Frank, and they're like a power couple.
Yeah,
like the hottest couple. And
well, well, we've seen Cora; she could play up to that.
Oh, of course she could. She could always play up to that. We played her down.
She's a good-looking lady.
And so, but it would be pretty cool, right? To kind of see, like, even just. You know, imagine they're at the buffet table and old habits die hard, he goes for the extra sausage roll and whatnot, and they're just kind of talking to each other about how it used to be, except they're so different, they've kind of become who they wanted in each other.
Maybe they go for the last sausage roll at the same time, man. And he lets her.
Right in the feels.
And how he's willing to give up that food, like, it's all Mary's in. It's perfect.
You can have it.
Ken, you wanted a sausage roll.
Mate, that would be.
I hear they're fake Greggs.
That is spot on. You could be playing Frank.
Thank you. Here it is. It's the face. That squishy face. Funnily enough, a lot of the conversations that Frank has with Janet, I fucking had them.
Oh, really? Your poor wife.
Expecting a nice big dinner, and she comes out with like a baked potato. What the fuck's this?
Didn't he give you wanted a big fat dinner?
Tracy, wait in the shop and get us some chips, will you? As you're sitting there eating a bunch of McCoys.
Do you remember actually, like, one of the most awkward scenes to rewatch, especially in front of my family, was, strangely enough, nothing that I was involved in, but Frank, who played my dad, with his new girlfriend doing that weird feeding each other scene. Oh, like, it was high octane, man. I was just like, sitting with my mum and dad, like, geez, like, I don't know where to look.
It's a bit breathy, isn't it?
It's a bit breathy, you're right.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, come on.
God damn.
That's an OnlyFans page.
Shite bag if you, Denny.
Ken, you wanted it.
I'm calling shite bag on you, J-Mac.
Shut up, you fat dick.
Oh, that would have been the perfect time. Oh, I forgot about that. I'll be kicking myself for days about that.
God damn. So if High Times came back, then you would definitely love to reprise Tracy's character.
That would be amazing. It would be amazing, like, if they wanted me, like, absolutely, like, it would be, just because the whole team are amazing and still good friends with, like, Stephen and Paul and stuff and, like, all the other guys that were in it, like, just absolutely amazing. So, of course, my gosh, I would jump at it.
Yeah. Well, who knows if the stars align. Yeah, exactly. We've yet to meet someone who's like, I had any good times on High Times, it was shite. I mean, we've yet to meet that person yet, but... It's quite good to hear that. And, you know, we kind of live in a society and a world now where you can make these projects happen with or without the big dogs. So, you know, fingers crossed, if all the stars align and people push hard enough for it.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, we might be able to get that steam train rolling again. And, you know, we've got that planned, the High Times reunion, where we really need lockdown to be finished in order to do it, because there's that many of you, for any of you guys to make any money, we need a full house.
We'll need to start like living together, so it's regarded as one household.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't High Times reunion, and it feels like an episode of EastEnders.
Exactly.
Holding hands from a distance, 2 meters apart.
But we pretty much have plans in place, and it's literally a case of now waiting on, I'm feeding a date and the just organising. You guys,
so you're planning to like show, like, what are you planning to show? Like,
so,
surely not all of it. The
idea is to kind of treat it like a fan service. So the High Times reunion would be, we work closely with a local cinema that where we've kind of done a lot of work for them that make them money. We've never taken a penny. It was all to kind of try and keep it local and make sure this thing survives, because everybody wants to have a local cinema that's not run by anybody, by a guy. So we've done like 5 different screenings of different movies that we loved. So we got the rights for it and played them, and we got the tickets and we took our audience there, and it's done really well for them. We even got G-Tom Mack to come along and do Cry Little Sister for the Lost Boys, because we're also filming a documentary for G-Tom Mack, which is quite cool. So we managed to do that. We've brought a lot of good traffic that way. So they're in that cinema now is in a good standing with us, to the point where we're like, here's what we've got, and they're like, give. So
yeah, amazing.
They've been well briefed on what we're planning to do, and it'll be kind of like a fan experience. So we would have you guys doing almost like what we've done on the show. We're asking you questions about the show, talking about funny stories. It'll be even better because you guys will be there to talk to each other about the stories, and someone will remember something that you all forgot about the time Tracy farted on set and thought nobody could hear it because she just kept going.
You better edit that out, Kevin.
Yes, I'll definitely edit that out.
Oh, that sounds like bullshit. That's
trust Kevin when he says he's going to edit something out.
I don't believe it for a second he's going to edit that out. It's probably going to be the teaser for this whole show.
It may just be that and the wee picture of you with the bungees.
Don't you dare. Like, honestly, I would like that deleted from the internet in its entirety.
You have to I'm not going to ask you to send me a picture, but show me where I can, in fact, send us the one from the BAFTAs and we'll
do. Oh, I don't have any pictures of that. No well, way. Like,
Jordan's probably already found it.
I like how I'm coming across in this.
An absolute creepy bastard.
A big, fat, creepy bastard dick.
You missed it again there. Come on, Tracy. But you'll find them though.
Maybe I'll just end the show by saying it.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
There we go. Yeah. So, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
So I'll probably forget.
No, that's not like you.
I know.
So the plan is basically just to give all the fans that loved High Times, for people that want to discover what it is. People might come in because they've seen Stephen in something. They might want to come in because they've seen someone's work. And basically have everybody come buy a ticket to come and see it. We'll play maybe an episode or two, get the script read between Rab and Jake. Mm. Have them read the script to a live audience.
Oh, the Amsterdam one?
Yeah, right? Have them do that. We can come up with just certain concepts for people to be able to chat to each other, and just the fans to engage with you guys yourself, almost like a convention kind of thing. But it will be a very much staged thing, and there'll be the audience, and then there'll be you guys, and then there'll be opportunity for you guys to sign stuff, and people bring DVDs, and we can make 4x10s. That's where the real money is made, on the merchandise. They didn't believe it last time. But
hilarious fact that anybody would come up to me and ask me to sign Erin is hilarious.
Mate, well, hey.
We'll just get loads of those fucking bunchies pictures printed off.
Get that BAFTA concert picture and listen, I'll be signing all sorts.
Exactly. You can find them at OnlyFans.com/Tracy.
A long line of creepy bastards.
Mate, hey, if they've creepy bastards that are paying coin.
Listen, if they've got cash in their wallets, it's okay.
Like, can you take this picture here with me, but we need shoes on.
Like some weird niche thing. I don't even know what to think about that.
Yeah, like how much?
I totally would be a how much question. Not a straight up no, it would be how much.
We'll see where this goes. I
say, can you hold this piece of celery for me?
How much?
Exactly. I don't imagine that we'll attract that kind of audience. We haven't yet. We had one. And she was a loudmouth. She came to one of the things and she was shouting a lot of abuse. I was ready to go and just kick fuck it. I was ready to go and remove her from the premises.
You'll edit that, will you?
It's all
before
right.
You say kick fuck, you're it's just going to edit remove from the premises.
I'm trained in security, so I can literally kick fuck it or make it look like it's self-defense.
Oh, right. It's legitimate. It's legitimate.
It's a legitimate beatdown. Oh, I'm just kidding.
It's like, what are you doing, Kevin? She brought her own crisps.
Fucking headlock, man. That and it sells a fucking TV series, right?
Oh, that is so good.
She brought her own
crisps. I would pay to see that.
I can make it happen.
We've just added a wee bit to our wee sketch show.
How much are we talking? Just kidding.
Just pop a number on it, they're willing to DM.
exactly. Oh, God, it's been an absolute blast to have you on. I'm going to just refer to you as Tracy because I know you as Tracy.
Okay.
Doesn't know why he says he's forgot your name already.
It's Stephanie, but that's cool. Call me Tracy.
I was going to say Tracy, but just remove your shoes and socks.
Listen, the shoes give me an extra inch height. There's no chance I'm removing them.
I've got a friend like that, actually. She was well, by the way, I'll give you this actual a wee thing to make you laugh. Don't know if it'll make you laugh, but it made me laugh. So
offensive.
No, to her it was. Her name was Wee Susie, right? The reason she called Wee Susie is because she was quite small, but she was like obviously a mum and stuff, right? So I used to work with her, right? So we worked in a kitchen together, and we used to bring like an order from the freezer down in these wee crates. And these crates were like you could open them and close them. You put milk in it. It's pretty much where you'd get off a milk stand in a supermarket, like a crate like that.
The milk trolleys.
Aye, right. I was trying to explain it like nobody knew what that was, right? So one time I had brought these down to the kitchen. I started putting all the stuff away, and I thought, right, there's a wee crate. And I was like, Susie, I bet you could fit in here. She was like, I would be disgusted if you'd done that, right? Because it would be embarrassing to her height. So I literally. This is a woman that could be my mum. Under the armpits, I picked her up under the armpits and put her in this milk trolley, and I locked it and I took her for a ride.
That, you never lift a little woman up.
Not by the armpits.
Certainly not by the armpits. Just, not by anything.
Like a toddler.
Honestly. I remember walking down Sucky Hall Street and after a night out, and I swear to God, at least 10 people just picked me up under the armpits because they just looked at me and went, she's tiny, that's hilarious. I'm going to pick her up. Although I'm pretty sure every time I tell this story, I add two people on. It probably was two people that did it. But like, honestly, like, it is such a thing that people just come up and like, here I am, a 33-year-old woman, and there's some old dude coming towards me, ready to lift me up by the armpits. Like,
is this something
you are the problem, Kevin.
Sorry, I mean, this was it was like 10 years ago.
Well, this still counts. It's still terrible. And you should feel ashamed.
Sit at the reunion, I know what we've got planned.
Oh, let's not stand together. Are you quite tall?
I was, what, 5'10"?
Aye, that's too tall. I'll be very far apart from you.
Oh, I can just picture it. It'll be dead silence and you'll just hear the squeaking of
Not at all. That's something John Rooney could write in a script. But except she farts when she gets put in the trolley.
Oh, guys, you're sort of obsessed with gas. It's so weird. It's
you keep bringing it up.
You better edit that out, Kevin.
It's edited. Don't worry, you'll not hear.
Oh, I doubt it. I don't believe a word you say.
Sorry. You don't ever think, like, when you watch back High Times, you don't, like, you being a smaller person, doesn't he? It's not, you can't even tell, you know what I mean?
Television, they didn't even put me on a wee step or anything. Like Tom Cruise, like walking along a long step. No, like, it's funny, it's classic. Like, I remember people telling me, like, oh, if you want to be in theatre, you'll really need to work for it, because, like, obviously, if you're on stage and you're a wee teeny tiny person, like, people are at the back, like, you're like, who's saying that?
Put you at the front,
perspective, just get me really close to them. But no, like, I think for telly, it obviously isn't very obvious, but it's just so funny, like, you know, it's a very, very, very defining feature for me, because I'm so tiny.
What's the average height for a woman anyway? Isn't it a little bit 5 foot anyway?
Where is this going?
I don't know, a good foot above what I am, to be honest.
Well, you've got such heart and personality that you'd make up for any other height. Yeah. We need height anyway, shite. That's why it rains.
Absolutely. You can easily climb up in cupboards. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's easy done.
To get a basket. Easy done.
Exactly. This is why my husband puts the chocolate up high. Why I keep my figure. Sometimes I'm just like, nah, I can't be arse climbing up. Scaling the cupboards. But, you know.
Brilliant. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you, Stephanie. You've been probably, you're just another John Rooney.
Oh, really?
In a good
have
way.
I said some terrible things?
No, not at all. I meant like you have such a good laugh. It almost feels like you're one of the guys, man. Which is good because that's what your character was. Am I digging a hole?
No, I don't know. Like, I mean, what a compliment to be compared to John Rooney. But it's only because he specifically is like the most un-PC person ever. I was thinking, oh, fuck, what have I said?
No, just...
No, you're
just...
all right. You're even... I think you're 2020 safe. I think you're so
sweet.
Thanks very much for coming on. And I'm giving you one last chance to say it before we go.
Shut up, you fat dick.
That's getting clipped, man. It's like, you can see the headline now.
Oh, wait, is it shut it, you fat dick? Oh, I can't remember.
Shut it, you fat dick.
Wait, shut it, you fat dick.
Thank you very much.
Shut up, you fat dick. And now I might just keep saying it until we end the podcast.
I love how it's just aimed at him.
I know.
I was actually looking at you when I said it as well. No, I mean, we all know that it's very much directed to Kevin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's going to end. Kevin's going to remix that, by the way.
Oh, it's got a remix. We all know this is directed at J-Mac.
No. I mean the whole shut it, you fat dick. Shut it, you fat dick.
Oh, can't wait.
That's going to happen.
Oh well.
Cannot wait. It's going to be my new ringtone. Can't wait.
So we will definitely be in contact with regards to the High Times reunion, and who knows, maybe the newspapers will get back on that ball, and we'll try and build a bit of appreciation for High Times so that people can go and revisit it, tell their pals about it, they'll tell their pals, and before you know it, we've got a real want to get this show back, because it's something that'd be amazing to be back for the day.
I love it. I love how passionate you guys are about it. It's amazing.
Oh, that's good. Did you not meet many people that are really passionate about it?
I think most people don't like recognize that I was in it, so I don't really get like people, and it very rarely just comes up randomly in conversation. And as I say, like, generally, if anybody knew what it was, they would point at me on a bus and say, "You're that assy fae High Road," and I'd say, "No, I'm not."
That actually happened to John Comerford as well.
Did he? Was he always
High Road as well? And who else was it? Because I actually sang the song to him. Carolyn McKidd.
Ah, really?
Yeah, this year as well. McKidd! Why did I say that?
It's Carolyn.
Kid.
Oh, that's right, it's Kid.
And I called him a kid on the episode as well. I called him a kid on the episode. I'm a fanny.
The thing is, you never even edited it out. That was the best part.
No, I left it.
Joining us today on the Jabba Jabba podcast is Carolyn McKidd. I was like, mate, what the fuck?
Edit that shit out. See, this is why I don't trust him that he's going to edit any of the shit out that I've asked for.
You know, I've got a couple fart sounds I'm definitely going to edit.
Oh, Lord, please don't. Oh, my God. Kid.
I wouldn't do that to you. You've suffered enough of it listening to me.
Well, thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. What a class episode. It felt so natural, just so chill, and yet we had such a mate. How many times did I laugh like a wee hyena in that episode?
I know, we all had a good few chuckles, and and just if you listen to it, it's proof that she doesn't like farts.
Well, I never say she did.
Don't you dare insert fart noises to make me pumped.
Pumped.
I know. That's a word that's an underused word. Everybody says fart now or chuffed. It's like, oh no. I just pumped.
There's an awful lot of fart talk on this episode. I think
about how much she hates it, but you keep bringing it up. It's funny, isn't it?
John Rooney's going to definitely love this episode.
Hey, John, how you doing?
But a huge thanks to Stephanie. It would be really cool to see her going to acting again, maybe at some point. I know she's still got that passion there, but who knows what the winds of change may bring. Maybe we'll see something that she's written. But she's a huge talent, and you guys should probably try and find her on Facebook or something. Smash that ad button. No, I'm kidding, Denny.
Smashing buttons, man. How many broken appliances are we going to have?
Exactly. But definitely go and check out High Times and check out Stephanie's work as Tracy. She not a big fan of looking back on herself at that age, but she was exactly what that show needed for that exact character. and she pulled it off perfectly. And everybody's got so many nice things to say about her, which you can find out by going back through the archives and checking out any of the other High Time episodes or any of our episodes in general. If you didn't want to go that far and check her stuff out, fine. But check out the High Time stuff.
Just so you get an idea of the high caliber stuff that we used to do, I was listening to an old episode the other day just to kind of see how far we've come. And it was an episode where we were plugging the fact that we were going to be going to Comic-Con Scotland. And what you said in that video is, it's like, listen, come along. If you see us, come up and talk to us. Unless you smell a fish. If you smell a fish, fuck off.
And I stand by that still to this day. Did I say that?
Yeah, I was listening. I was like, what the fuck?
If you smell a fish. I like fish, but no one somebody smells it. Right, so...
I know. I remember when I was working in a supermarket a long time ago, every day during the week at a certain time, it was the fucking knock-off time for the fish factory. I used to get all the fucking workers coming in, just stinking the shop up. Anyway, moving
class.
On
that note, that's the end of the episode. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us bantering off with Stephanie about her time on High Times. She clearly loved the series. Everyone has. We have. You should go ahead and check it out. And also keep your eyes peeled on our social media, because at some point when lockdown is lifted, there will be a High Times reunion and you got to get a seat, because it's going to be a can't miss thing. Until that time, check us out on the www.jibberjabberpodcast.com, and you can find us everywhere else. Go and do your thing, and thanks for listening.
Gotta be careful when you come upon smiling faces. Gonna take you places you've never been before. You gotta be careful.